photography gear, how cameras, lenses, and other stuff help. Hi, and a very warm welcome to episode 179 of the Photography Explained podcast. I'm your host, Rick, and in each episode, I will try to explain one photographic thing to you in plain English in less than 27 minutes-ish without the irrelevant details. I'm a professionally qualified photographer based in England with a lifetime of photographic experience, which I share with you in my podcast. Here is the answery bit. Photography is drawing with light, and photography gear is simply the tools we use to capture that light and take photos. Photography gear can help us create higher quality, better composed photos. And that's it. It is that simple. Buy the best camera and lens that you need and can afford, and learn how to use them properly. But the important thing is, it's what you point your camera at, isn't it? It's not the gear, but plenty more on that in the scripted bit. Okay, so that's my answer. Now I'm going to go through the gear that's available to us, starting, of course, with cameras. Now, there are so many different cameras. You've got DSLR cameras, mirrorless cameras, full-frame cameras, crop sensor cameras, Micro Four Thirds cameras, and that's just the mainstream consumer cameras. But for this episode, I'm going to restrict myself to these three. Oh yeah, and there's phones, of course. Yes, of course there is. So what's the difference between a full-frame camera, a crop sensor camera, and a Micro Four Thirds camera? It's a good place to start. I'm going to start with sensor size. A full-frame camera has a sensor size that is 36 millimeters wide by 24 millimeters high. A crop sensor camera has a sensor that is 22.5 millimeters wide by 15 millimeters high-ish. They vary, but they're around this size, and it's good enough for the purposes of what I'm explaining to you here. A Micro Four Thirds camera has a sensor which is 18 millimeters by 13.5 millimeters. So the three different types of cameras have got different sensor sizes, meaning that the three different camera systems built around these different sensors. And each system has different camera bodies and different lenses. It'd be nice if we got to the point where there was just one. I'm sure with the way that the tech's progressing, we don't need three anymore, surely. I know manufacturers aren't going to like me for saying that, but surely we could just do with one of the three. Just a little digression there. Now, full frame and crop sensor cameras have got a 3:2 aspect ratio, and Micro Four Thirds cameras have a 4:3 aspect ratio. So those are the fundamental differences, but what does this all mean and how can it help us take better photos? I need to say here there are a million one other differences between the three different camera systems, but for me, we're starting off with the camera sensor and everything that's built around that, and there are three different sizes. That's the difference for me. So what does this all mean? How does it help us? Well, let's look at a full-frame camera. A full-frame camera has a larger sensor than the other two. A larger sensor generally means more data is captured, giving potentially higher quality photos. And full-frame cameras are generally larger, heavier, and more expensive. Ah, it's in the script. I know there are a million and one variables, but these are the general differences. And I'm not trying to... This episode isn't what is the difference between these three types of camera. I just want to explain them, just to put some context to this. And this is the other important difference, which is why I talk about sensor size. With a full-frame camera, a 50mm focal length gives you a 50mm focal length. Well, of course it does. Why wouldn't it, Rick? Well, let me explain how. Let me move on to a crop sensor camera, which doesn't. Crop sensor cameras tend to be smaller, lighter, and cheaper than full-frame cameras. And this is, well, I say it's the complicated bit. It sort of is and it isn't. Cropped sensor cameras have a crop factor of 1.5 to 1.6, depending on the camera manufacturer. They couldn't even agree on that. Now, the reason I used a 50mm lens as the example for the full-frame camera is that a 50mm lens, it gives you a view similar to that which we see with our own eyes. But when we apply the crop factor of 1.6 with the crop sensor camera to the 50mm focal length, this is what happens. So 50mm is the focal length of the lens. That does not change. But the crop factor is multiplied by the focal length to give the effective focal length. When I say effective focal length, that's the actual focal length that you're seeing. So it's not changing the focal length because that's a fixed optical thing. Okay, so it's changing the effective focal length, which in this case is it's 50 times 1.6, which is 80. Even I can work that out. So a 50mm focal length on a crop sensor camera gives an effective focal length of 80mm. Now, I hate to say this, but why don't they just call it 80mm so we know where we are? It's one of them, isn't it? And an 80mm focal length has got a narrower field of view than 50mm. So to get the same field of view as a 50mm lens on a full-frame camera, as in the way we see the world with our eyes, we need to divide 50 by the crop factor, which gives us 31mm. So a 31mm focal length on a crop sensor camera gives us the same field of view as 50mm on a full-frame camera. Before I move off crop sensor cameras, a quick word on the term I hate, APS-C. Now, you will still find the term APS-C used for crop sensor cameras. Don't try to apply any logic to this. APS-C was a film format introduced in 1996, where you could choose three different sizes of photos. Now, I've got nothing against APS, which is Advanced Photo System. I had a go with this, and it was actually really clever. It was brilliant. And it was the first time I could get photos of different shapes and sizes. It was a genius idea, and you had three different picture formats, A, B, and C. And the C photo is similar in size to a cropped sensor camera sensor. Glad this isn't complicated. So the C of APS-C is the third size of negative. I think it was negative. It was 1996, it was a long time ago. And that's where it comes from. What possible relevance does APS-C have today? It has none. If we got rid of the term APS-C, the world would be a better place. I have no idea why it is still used. No idea at all. Sorry, I need to get that out of the way. Micro Four Thirds camera. A Micro Four Thirds camera has a smaller sensor than a crop sensor camera and a crop factor of 2. So a 50mm focal length on a Micro Four Thirds camera gives an effective focal length of 100mm. To get the equivalent field of view that you get with 50mm on a full-frame camera, which is how we see the world, divide the focal length by the crop factor, and that gives us a focal length of 25mm. I'm going to say it again, it's not in the script. If the camera manufacturers, rather than saying 50mm and then making you times it by 2 for it to be 100mm effective focal length, why don't they just call it 100? We don't care that the 50mm is 50mm is a fixed optical thing. We don't give a stuff about that. What we care about is what we're taking photos of, so surely it would make sense to change it. Just saying. Right, does sensor size affect depth of field? Well, some say it does, and I say this. Don't worry about it. What matters is the depth of field you get with your camera and lens for the subject you photograph, bearing in mind the focal length and the proximity of you to the subject and to the background. I have a full-frame camera, and I also have a Micro Four Thirds camera, and I've never thought about this. I have never wondered if I was going to get different depth of field with my Olympus camera. I've never had that thought. It's not a problem. So whilst technically people are correct in saying you do get a different depth of field, it doesn't matter. The depth of field I get with my Canon 6D is what it is, and it's the same with my Olympus EM5. And I move on. I've got bigger things in my life to worry about than that. Oh, sorry, nearly forgot. It's depth of sharpness, not depth of field. Let's not forget this. Okay, so what does this all mean? I mean, it means that the sensor size directly affects the focal length you get, impacting what you're taking photos of or not. I don't understand or not there, impacting what you're taking photos of. See, it doesn't matter. We know that a Micro Four Thirds camera has a crop factor of 2. So if I want to get a focal length of 17mm on my Micro Four Thirds camera, as I do with my go-to Canon lens, the Canon 17-40mm lens, I need a focal length of 8.5mm. And Olympus have got a lens that covers this, so it's not a problem. Does it actually matter which camera type you use? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And that's good news, and it's bad news. It's good, as in it really doesn't matter, and I'm going to justify how I say that later on. But it's also bad, because it's hardly helping you narrow things down, is it? And I say it doesn't matter, as in what matters is that you're actually taking photos and that you're creating new stuff, regardless of the size of the camera sensor. What matters is what you're taking photographs of and how you're taking them technically. And these things all apply equally to each of the three different camera systems. They're just different, but they're doing the same thing. Photography is drawing with light, so it doesn't really matter. Hopefully you get the idea. Okay, so how do I choose a camera for me? Well, how do you? How do you indeed? Price will be a factor. Oh, I'm not going to say buy XYZ camera. I can't tell you what camera you need. I can give you some thoughts, some ideas, and a way of finding all this stuff out, and that's what I'm here for. So price will be a factor, as will a brand that you might prefer. The camera size and weight, specific features. Yeah, they all matter, don't they? What you want to take photos of, how serious you are about your photography, image quality, image sensor quality, all that good stuff. Beyond that, there are so many variables, I can't possibly cover them, so I'm not even going to attempt to. I use a Canon 6D Mark I. This camera was first released in late 2014. It's nearly 10 years old, this camera. And it's not a badge of honour. It's not me going, oh, look at me with my old camera. No, I bought this camera in 2014, 2015. And I love the photos it takes. And I do not need the latest features for the photos I take. I just don't need all the latest bells and whistles. I'm happy with what I've got. Sure, I'd love some shiny new loveliness, but will it help me to take better photos? Well, possibly. Okay, I don't need all the latest features for my photos and how I take them. So I'm going to... So there's a few questions I would ask of myself when I was thinking about a new camera, which you might want to do as well. Sure, I'd love some shiny new loveliness, don't we all? But will it help me take better photos? Might do, possibly. Will the photos be visibly better? Possibly. And that means getting a new camera is a possibility, because if it's going to help me get better photos, it's worth considering. Will shiny new loveliness help me to take the photos I cannot get now with my current gear? And the answer's no. I don't have a problem that can be fixed with a new camera. I can take the photos I need to take. Will shiny new loveliness save me time? Well, possibly it will. And that's a reason that I would buy a new camera. It would save me time. Does my camera work, as in my current camera? Yep, it's fine. Will clients notice if I get a new camera? Probably not. Now, I might buy a new camera to save time and produce slightly higher quality images. I might do that, but that's all I'm getting out of this. Yeah, it saves me time. That's great. It will pay me back in the long term. So it's worth spending a good amount of money on a replacement camera. And let me explain the saving time bit. With my Canon 6D, I take photos using auto bracketing. There is a built-in HDR feature, but it only works in JPEG. So if I bought a camera that did the auto bracketing for me and put the photos together in camera and gave me the one processed image, then I think, after some trials and experimentation and proving, I would save quite a bit of time on my workflow. So it'd be worth doing. And if the photos are slightly higher quality, that's worth it. So this is the kind of things you think about when you're getting a new camera. It's not just, it's not on a whim. Well, it can be if you want. That's up to you, but not for me. So I might buy a new camera to save time and produce slightly higher quality images. And that's my thought process on getting a new camera. Now, I was going to go into what full-frame crop sensor and Micro Four Thirds cameras are used for. I'm not going to do it. It just depends. I'll go back to me. I use my Olympus camera for travel photography. Now, the theory is that it's smaller and lighter. However, the lens that I use is a 12-40mm f2.8 pro lens, which weighs 380 grams. My Canon 17-40mm lens weighs 500 grams. Yep, it is lighter, but will I notice that 120 gram weight saving? No, I won't, will I? I just really won't notice it. And that weight difference, this is a sad comparison. This tells you a lot about me. That weight difference is virtually the same as the weight of a small glass of wine. And I just thought about this, or a quarter of a half litre can of beer. So, yes, you can see where my priorities are. But will that 120 gram weight saving help me? No, it won't, will it? It just won't. So what's important with cameras then, Rick? Of course, all of the above. I've already covered a lot of things, as well as how the camera's used, its handling and its size. These are influences. Going back to me again, I much prefer the handling of my Canon 6D, but it's bigger than the Olympus EM5, isn't it? I find the Olympus a bit fiddly, but that's just me. I'm not saying the EM5's a fiddly camera. I find it fiddly, but it might be because I've been using Canon SLRs and DSLRs for 40 years longer than I have Micro Four Thirds cameras. I don't know, but I am quite clumsy, to be honest with you. And because of my age, the bigger buttons with the bigger print do help. So how do I choose a camera? Well, how do you choose a camera? Well, do this very old school thing. We can still do this, and if we don't do this, we won't be able to do it for long. Go to a camera shop. Speak to the good folk there and ask for the help. Yes, go to a physical shop and speak to an actual person face to face. I know it's a bit alien in this online age, isn't it? But that's the best way. So speak to an actual person who knows this stuff. Be clear about your budget and what you want to do with your camera. Take their advice and buy a camera from them. Please don't milk them for all the advice that you can, then go home and buy one online for a much reduced price. If we all do that, camera shops will just disappear. And we do need them. They serve a very important service to the photography world. Sure, get the best price from them, that's fine. But go into the shop with the intent to buy if you are looking for a camera, lens or other bit of kit. Not saying you have to buy it the first time, you can always walk away and come back. Okay, lenses. Well, there's a seemingly endless choice of lenses out there, isn't there? There's hundreds and hundreds of them. I've got three lenses for my Canon system. A 17-40mm, 24-105mm and 70-200mm lens. And that's it. Yes, I've had lots of lenses in the past that I didn't really need, but that's another story. For my Olympus EM5, I've got a 12-40mm lens, effective focal length 24-80, and a effective focal length 24-80mm, and a 40-150mm lens, effective focal length 80-300mm. I use Canon lenses for my Canon cameras, and Olympus lenses for my Olympus cameras. Not forgetting independent lens manufacturers exist who make lenses that fit cameras made by all the major camera brands. I won't name names here, but there are a few out there. And that's it, really. That's all I have. And, yeah, when you're picking lenses, you've got to remember the crop factor if you're on a crop sensor camera or a Micro Four Thirds camera, but not on a full-frame camera. And there are three main types of lenses. Wide-angle lenses, focal length less than 40mm-ish. Standard lenses, focal length around 50mm. Telephoto lenses, focal length more than 60mm-ish. Now, I say ish as there's no fixed point where wide angle and telephoto lenses start and end. And of course, this is referenced back to full frame cameras. So, but what do these different focal lengths mean? Right, so 50mm on a full frame camera is similar to how we see the world with our eyes. A focal length of less than 50mm gives a wider field of view. Things seem smaller and elements in a photo are further away and further away from each other. A focal length of more than 50mm gives a narrower field of view. Things seem larger and closer, and elements in a photo are closer together. These effects are directly related to the focal length. The larger or smaller the number from the starting point of 50, the greater the effect. Right, I have to say here, I don't often congratulate myself, but I'm actually impressed with myself for that explanation of lenses. I thought that was pretty good. I'm happy with that. But what are different camera lens focal lengths used for? That was a snappy heading, wasn't it? What are different focal lengths used for? If I take out different camera lens and go with what are different focal lengths used for? That's better, isn't it? Yes, it is, Rick. I use a 17mm focal length for 95% of my photos of buildings. When I use my Olympus travel camera, I take 95% of my photos with the 12mm focal length. I find that I use the ends of a zoom lens, and certainly with my travel photography. I wouldn't notice the difference, to be honest, if I had three lenses, which were 12mm, 40mm and 150mm. I don't know why, it's just what I do. I like the extreme ends, and that's it. But certain fields of view suit certain subjects. Focal lengths are pertinent, good use of the word pertinent, Rick, to what you're photographing. So let me give you some examples. 17 to 24mm. For me, that's what I use for interiors and exteriors of buildings. 85 to 100mm focal length, it's great for photos of people because it gives the most natural looking results. Don't photograph somebody with a 24mm lens because the face will be distorted. Don't photograph somebody with a 600mm focal length because the face will be distorted and they won't thank you in either case. 40 to 60mm, however, street photography, which is creating what we see. It's similar to the field of view that we have with our own eyes, so it makes sense. 300, 400mm, 500, 600, whatever, bird in flight photography, motorsport, that kind of thing. Now, I could list an endless number of examples, I really could, but I'm not going to. Don't worry. So how do you pick a camera lens? Go to that shop, speak to that person. Because there are so many variables: cost, quality, size, weight, maximum aperture, focal length of lens, focal length or lengths, because you've got zoom lenses, prime lenses and zoom lenses. So a prime lens has a fixed focal length. A zoom lens has multiple focal lengths. So a 50mm f1.8 lens is a prime lens. A 24 to 105mm lens is a zoom lens. Simple. Just had a slurp on my coffee. Very nice, Rick. Buy the best lens that you can afford that is suitable for the photos that you will take. And think about crop factor when you're choosing a lens, because this does make a massive difference. Right, here's a camera lens body question. Should you get a new lens or a new camera body? Well, it depends on the reason, but a lens may be the answer. If you just want to improve image quality. I'll touch on this again in a bit. Lenses versus camera resale values. Right then, interesting point. Camera bodies devalue quickly, but camera lenses hold the values much better. Why is this? Well, camera bodies are updated more often with more tech and better stuff in them and new features. And that means that models become obsolete more quickly. Lenses, however, are not replaced by manufacturers anywhere near as often, so they hold the value. And that's why you'll see professional photographers using older camera bodies and newer lenses. And if anything, that's why we keep older camera bodies and if anything, upgrade our lenses, because that's where the big gains can be found. If I get a better lens on my camera... Okay, right, moving on to bags, camera bags. Is there the perfect camera bag? Bags. Camera bags. Is there the perfect camera bag? No, there is not. Well, if there is, I haven't found it. And if you have, let me know. I've got three camera bags, each with its specific uses. One's got all my Canon gear in, and it's a biggish bag with a shoulder strap and a fully opening top. I've got a smaller bag, which is a backpack, and the specific stuff I use on every shoot goes in that bag from the big bag. And I told you about that in the last episode. And the other bag, it's got all my Olympus gear in it. It's a backpack, and it also serves as my hand luggage when I travel. And that's it. Again, these bags, they all have specific purposes. And I've bought many bags over the years, but I've ended up with these three. So the important things for a camera bag are these. Firstly, it protects your gear. Secondly, you can get to stuff easily. Thirdly, it works for what you do. Now, I don't care what my bags look like. They, like cameras and lenses, are simply tools. Tripods. I take every photo that I can with my camera on a tripod. Why is that? Well, I don't need to worry about shutter speed for one thing, and I find that having my camera on a tripod, it helps me to get better compositions. And I use a geared head for my architectural photography work, but for my travel photography and landscape photography, I will use a ball head on a travel tripod. Again, it's gear specific for what I'm doing. But in the main, I photograph buildings, and this works for what I do. Now, whilst I recommend that you use a tripod to take photos, it's no use if your thing's photographing landscapes from cliff faces, is it? Or photographing angry polar bears. You get the point, I hope. Sorry, these examples are just what comes into my head. I know, it's a worry, isn't it? How do you choose a tripod? Well, go to a shop and ask. Yep, I've said this before. And you can physically try them out in a shop and see which one works for you. Take your camera, put it on a tripod, have a go, have a play, find the one that you want, and buy it in the shop. That's the best way. Yes, you can order one online, and if you don't like it, send it back, but it's not the best way to go about things, is it? And you'll only know if a tripod works for you by trying it. So speak to a knowledgeable person in a camera shop and try some out. Right, other stuff. I was going to go on about all the other stuff that you can get, but I stopped myself. Instead, I would like to refer you to the last episode and the stuff I used. The point is that you should only get gear if it will help you. So let me, and I'll remind you what my criteria are for that later. I mean, if you'd like me to discuss other gear, just let me know. I mean, there are things which are a given, aren't they? We all need a memory card or, I don't know, 12. We need batteries, we need stuff to clean our gear, we need a camera strap or wrist strap in my case. Now, last episode I covered that. There's no need to repeat myself here. And I'm not going to talk about flashes and other artificial lighting because I don't use it. I didn't get on with it, to be honest with you. I wasn't very good with it. Thankfully, for what I do, natural light works. And again, this isn't another cop-out. It just makes perfect sense for what I do. I think I'll cover that in another episode. Right, new versus used. If you can't afford new camera equipment or don't want to buy new, consider second-hand. I've done this in the past and I've never had a problem. Be sure what you want and make sure you buy it from a safe place and you should be just fine. And second-hand camera bodies can save you a lot of money, lenses less so. I covered this earlier. I'm using a Canon 6D and you can get a Canon 6D Mark 1 for, I don't know, £200, £300, dollars, euros. I know other currencies are available, I can't possibly list them all. And that's a lot less than buying a new camera costs, well... And that's a lot less than buying a new full-frame camera. A lot less. And yeah, I didn't say it earlier, but I'll say it now. In 2014, when the Canon 6D was released, it was a great camera. And just because it's 10 years on, it doesn't mean it's not still a great camera, which it is. Just got to reset everything because my acoustic cushioning fell over. It's a pillow. How gear can help us take photos. Second-hand camera bodies can save you a lot of money. Lenses, less so. But I covered this earlier. How gear can help us take photos. Five specific examples. My first one's a 10-stop ND filter. Imagine taking a photo of a river. Your exposure is 1/125th of a second at f/16. Now imagine reducing the amount of light by 10 stops, but still getting the correct exposure. Now the shutter speed would change from 1/125th of a second to 8 seconds. That's if my maths is correct, which there is the remotest of chances of. 8 seconds. I mean, talk about a piece of gear transforming a photo. Imagine moving water captured in daylight with an 8-second exposure. And you can do this with a 10-stop neutral density filter. I have done this lots of times. Sea, rivers, you name it. It's a brilliant way. And it's such a different look, especially in daylight. You sort of expect to see photos like that in early morning or twilight or what have you, but it's a really good effect during the day. Right, my Canon 17-40mm lens. It helps me to photograph building interiors and exteriors. 17mm is wide, but it's not so wide that it deceives or distorts. It's the perfect focal length for me. Right, the tripod. Well, how does a tripod help me take photos? Well, I was photographing a snooker room and I wanted the lights on over the table, but the lights in the rest of the room dimmed. I wanted to recreate the true feel of the room, the mood of the room. So my camera's on a tripod and I use a self-timer, and the problem was solved. It was a very slow shutter speed, but it was fine because my camera's on a tripod. So a tripod is the very good, quick, easy fix for low light. And this is an example of why I don't use additional lighting, because I'm trying to capture what's there, the mood, the lighting, the design of what's there. So I don't want to introduce additional light. Grey card. I use a grey card. I include it in a photo. I take photos using auto white balance. Don't shoot me. Then when I'm processing my images, I simply click on the grey card in the photo with the white balance eyedropper tool in Lightroom, and voila, white balance done. It saves me time and helps me get the white balance right. Now, people will say you should be doing this in camera, but I'm sorry, it helps me save time. When I'm photographing a building, time is not a friend to me. Loo viewer. Well, I'm quite old. My eyes aren't what they were. It'll happen to all you youngsters at some point, don't worry. And the LCD screen on my Canon 6D, it's not the best. Well, it's a 10-year-old camera, and my iPhone's an iPhone 15 Pro, so you don't... Comparing the two screens, it's not a good thing to do. So the Loo viewer, it cost me about 30 quid. It's a thing that attaches to the back of the camera, and it covers the LCD screen. It shades the screen from sun, for those rare days here in England when it is sunny, and it also magnifies the LCD screen. And it also magnifies the LCD screen. And this helps me to get the best compositions that I can. And that is how I use gear to help me take photos. Which was the title of the thing, so hopefully I've done that justice. The talky bit. Let's not overthink this. There is a real danger of us overthinking gear. I certainly did. Full frame, crop sensor, Micro Four Thirds. Does it really matter? The honest, short answer is no, it does not really matter. Certainly not as much as people say, and not as much as you might think. They're different, but they're doing the same thing, they're capturing the light. So there's no right or wrong camera or right or wrong type of camera. What you got is what you got. What does matter is that you learn how to use your camera and go out and take photos with it. It feels like people are always searching for the next best camera. I mean, I'm still using a 10-year-old Canon 6D and it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I quite like it, to be honest with you. And I'm someone who likes spending money on the latest tech, so there you go. You can take great photos with a great camera, but you can also take rubbish photos with a great camera. And you can take great photos with an average camera. No, what matters is what you point your camera at and how you take the photo, both composition-wise and technically. Okay, that's the case. Why is there so much gear? Why are there all these options? Well, I covered some of this in the last episode. If we consider photography gear as the tools that we use to take photos, we all start with basic equipment. Now, we might need more features or higher quality image capture capability as we progress, and that's when we upgrade our camera gear and lenses, and we buy bits of gear that we need to do a specific job. This is how we progress and assemble all this stuff. Now, a professional photographer who spends £10,000, euros, dollars, other currencies available, on a lens, they've spent all that money for a very good reason. They've not spent it on a whim. They spent that £10,000, dollars, euros, on a lens to do a job. That lens is needed. Now, I'd love to need a lens cost. Well, I'd love to be able to buy a lens costing £10,000 and be able to justify it and afford it. But maybe next year, Rick. Maybe next year. But this is the point. Only buy or upgrade gear when you need to. And another thing on cameras, if you stick to the main camera brands, you'll struggle to buy a bad camera these days, so you're in a pretty good position. Okay, another point I just want to come back to. I said earlier, will clients notice if I get a new camera? And my answer was, probably not. So we always have to remember who we are taking photos for. If it's for ourselves, that's fine. If it's for somebody else, that might be a factor here. So why does it not really matter what camera you have? I've made this grand statement before. It doesn't matter if it's a Micro Four Thirds crop sensor or full frame camera. It doesn't really matter. And now I'm going to justify that big, bold statement. I did a commercial shoot with an Olympus camera and I issued the photos to the client for whom I'd done loads of work before, and all the other photos were taken with the Canon 6D. Now, remember all the differences between a Micro Four Thirds camera and a full-frame camera. It was the EM1 Mark II kindly loaned to me by Olympus. Thank you, Olympus. And I issued the photos to a client for whom I'd done loads of work, all of which was done with my Canon 6D. Now, remember all the differences between the two systems. So what happened? No one noticed. No one said anything. And this is the reality. It was a different camera system, different camera body, different lens, focal length, depth of field, image sensor resolution, all that good stuff. And I even took all the photos in JPEG format and not RAW, which was a mistake on my part. I just noticed on my script I spelled JPEG wrong. Now, I got the settings wrong and I took all the photos in JPEG. And when I imported the photos, I did have a bit of a moment, but I processed the photos in Lightroom and I got them to look like any other photos that I'd taken. So does this stuff all matter so much? No, it does not. That might be a shocking truth, but it really doesn't. And that's all I want to say here. Oh no, sorry, one last thing. Buy the best gear that you need and can afford, but use that gear to its full capabilities and concentrate on what you are taking photos of. Read the camera manual. Find out everything it can do. Find out what all the settings are. Turn off things you don't want it to do. Set the camera up to work for you, and that will allow you to concentrate on what you're taking photos of, knowing properly how to use the camera, and that does make a difference. Right, what if I use my phone to take photos and not a camera? Then you have a phone and not much else. And if you take photos using a phone only, do you have any gear? Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And it'd be great to share this with other people, because when I'm taking photos with my phone, I don't have anything else. I just got my phone and that's it. I just picked up my iPhone there, which doesn't come across well on the audio, does it? Yeah, I'd love to know if people do put gear on phones or if they're happy with just the phone. Thinking about this one, this sounds like a survey that I need to do. Yeah, why not? Okay, I'm going to work on that one. I like doing my little surveys every now and then. I need to do another one on the podcast. And I have to say, not having anything other than my phone is a lovely, liberating thing. It's really nice not having a bag and gear and all that other stuff. What if I use the film camera? Everything that I've said so far applies. There won't be as much new gear as there is for mirrorless cameras and DSLR cameras. And that backs up what I said about secondhand gear. Secondhand gear is absolutely fine. It still works. It still does a job. It does a job today that it did 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I feel like I should be saying more about using film cameras, but to be honest with you, on this subject, there's not a lot more to say. I mean, one thought I had was, can you buy new film cameras? I'm talking SLR cameras. I don't think you can. So you're sort of stuck with older cameras and lenses, which will save you a heap of money. What do I do? I use a Canon full-frame DSLR with a 17-40mm wide-angle lens for my architectural photography work and an Olympus Micro Four Thirds camera for my travel photography. These work for me, and I'm happy. One thing I want to say here is that I always use the lens hoods that come with my lenses. They protect the lens front element better than anything as far as I'm concerned, and they also block stray light hitting the lens element, which causes lens flare. Now, I mention this because I've just been on holiday and I noticed a number of people taking photos with the cameras and none of them had a lens hood, and it upset me. Now, I didn't say anything because who am I to say that to somebody? When you buy a lens, it should come with a lens hood made by the manufacturer, designed to be used with that lens. Use it. It will help you protect the front lens element, which is a precious thing. So I don't use a protector filter. I use the lens hood. Now, I'm not telling you not to use a protector filter, but I don't myself. Right. Oh, yeah. I also use the self-timer built into my camera. I used to have remote controls or remote releases, but I kept on going back to the self-timer, which it just does the job for me easily and simply. And it means there's one less piece of gear, there's one less pair of batteries to have and everything. Now, my camera setup's been refined over the years to what it is now, and it's pretty minimalist. But the camera self-timer, it's such a useful tool, it really is. Okay, some thoughts from the last episode. Well, my script says it was a very good episode. Well, I thought it was anyway, and hopefully you did as well, but who am I to say that? Now, I'm happy that I covered everything, but there's one thing I want to return to, and it's this. I got distracted by gear. Photography, for me, it became all about the gear. I thought that I needed all the gear under the sun before I could become a real photographer, and I was so wrong. Now, I've told you the criteria for getting new gear, which I make no apology for repeating here. Only get more photography gear if the gear will help you take better photos. The gear will help you to take photos that you cannot get with your current gear. The gear will save you time or money. Or the gear you have is broken, worn out, or about to fail. Keep this in mind and it will help you. Next episode. Camera settings, how to get image capture bang on. I'm done with photography equipment. I've said enough. I've said a lot more than I was planning on saying, bearing in mind that this series is about how to take better photos. Now it's time to talk about camera settings and how we use the gear to get the best photos that we can. So that's what you can look forward to in episode 180. And I'm looking forward to this episode. It's going to be good. Not that any of them are rubbish, obviously. Ask me a question. If you have a question you would like me to answer, email me sales@rickmcavoyphotography.co.uk or head over to the podcast website, photographyexplainedpodcast.com. And if you want to just say hi, I love hearing from my listeners. And do you want an email from me? If you would like to receive a weekly email from me where I tell you what I'm thinking about, fill out the form on the podcast website and every Friday you will get a lovely email from me. How utterly splendid. Right, I'm done. This episode was brought to you by, well, a coffee. Yep, I'm recording this before my lunch on a Friday, the week before the episode's published, which is why it's a lot more relaxed recording, because I'm ahead of myself here. So no, a nice coffee before I settled down in my homemade acoustically cushioned recording emporium. I've been Rick McAvoy. Thanks again very much for listening to my small but perfectly formed podcast, It Says Here, and for giving me 27-ish minutes of your valuable time. Now, I think this episode will be about 30 minutes long after I've edited out the mistakes and the other bad stuff and the 17 breaks for text messages and phone calls and thinking there was somebody at the door. Right, okay, I'm going to stop waffling. Hope to see you on the next episode. Take care, stay safe. Cheers from me, Rick. My brand new course, How to Become a Real Estate Photographer, Straight Talking Advice for Beginners to Get You Making Money Quickly and Build a Career, is available to buy now. Find out more at rickmcavoyphotography.com/courses.